One of the surprising messages of the Bible is that God is very, very determined to rescue the most evil and wicked people that you and I could imagine or meet. And if you feel like you fall into that category, there's hope for you and I, no matter how far we've rebelled against God or what our own reputation is in our own souls between us and the Lord. God sees that and sends good news our way, that we might turn to Him and repent and meet Him. So if you're thinking of yourself or you're thinking of somebody in the world, know that God is seeking them and He's after them. And our response to that is a little bit hot and cold, as we see through the prophet Jonah. If there was a missions conference and we all gathered together and said, we're going to send a missionary to Nineveh, which is modern-day Iraq. Some of us would get excited and some would pray and gather and, you know, how can God work? And we know for one thing, Jonah would not come to the missions conference. He would say, forget it. I'm not there. So some of you have already put Jonah's shoes on for Saturday and for next Sunday. But don't put the shoes on totally yet, because Jonah eventually did go to Nineveh and was a part of missions for that. So think about that in your own relationship with the Lord. And what can we learn from Jonah? What can we learn from the Lord about what happened in this real life experience between one believer and God and a whole bunch of people who hated God? What happened? I remember one of the first Bibles I received had some contemporary photographs in the Bible, and they were placed throughout the Scripture to kind of represent whatever God's Word was going to say at that point. And one photograph caught my attention. It was a picture of a teenager who was hitchhiking, and they were holding this sign that said, anywhere but here. And I don't know if you ever ran away from home or wanted to hold that sign up, maybe Monday morning at work, put it on your desk, you know, anywhere but here, to send a message to the boss, or sometimes you do that in school. Sadly, you might feel that way in your home. If things are so conflicted or you feel real bad, you know, anywhere but here. And so Jonah could have had that sign when he thought of Nineveh, and God said, go to Nineveh and tell the people to repent or I'm going to destroy the city in 40 days. That wasn't a very long time to change. And Jonah's relationship to God up to this point went something like this. This is quotes from the Bible, chapters 1 through 3. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And you could know that God is intent on getting His word to people. He talks to us. He tells us things on a regular basis. And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh. And Jonah ran away from the Lord. That's an actual quote from the Scripture. Jonah ran away from the Lord. And that's the human nature. You and I are going to do that unless God stops us in our tracks. So beware that tendency in your soul, tendency of people around you. Run away from God. God is very intimidating. We know if we face Him, our life will have to change. And then Jonah found a ship, sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. That's another quote. Now, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. That was east of where he was, where Iraq is. And so Jonah, he heads west, as far west as you can go. It'd be like God said, go to New York City. I want you to tell others there about me. And we say, San Francisco, here I come. Okay, that's as far away as we can go. He was headed towards modern-day Spain, opposite of where God told him to go. And then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, that on the ship that Jonah was riding. So we could see who's going to win this battle between the Lord's will, Jonah's will. There's a tug of war going on there. And the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And the Lord commanded the fish to spit Jonah up on dry land. So after 3 days, Jonah gets towards where he's supposed to go. And then the good news, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. a second time. So God is the God of second chances. If you don't listen to him the first time, he will tell you again. God is the God of a thousand chances when you think of our walk with him. Billy Graham's daughter said, God is the God of those who have just a slim chance or no chance. Think of a circumstance in your life, you say, no chance will God help there. Or a person you're concerned about. Desperate need physically or spiritually, a slim chance they would turn to Christ. God is the God of second chances. He tells Jonah the word of the Lord again, and Jonah obeys the Lord. So he's back at that missions conference. Okay? So you plant, make your plans. And then the Ninevites believed God. This was a total surprise, probably even to the Ninevites. And God has compassion on them. And the turn comes when Jonah is greatly displeased about that. Now the Hebrew for that phrase is, it was a great evil to Jonah. What happened? Jonah thought, I hate Nineveh. If I have to go, I'll go. I hope it is destroyed. They turned to the Lord, and Jonah said, this is really bad, and I can't understand this. And at that point, later on in the last chapter, Jonah becomes, one guy put it, the first radical environmentalist, because he's all confused about life. There's a little bush that grows that God allows to grow to give Jonah some shade. Okay, so he's all happy about this bush. Oh, I got this bush here. God kills the bush, and Jonah really flips out. My bush, you know, it took away my bush. And God says, hey, you're concerned about that bush? Shouldn't I be concerned about the 270,000 people in Nineveh who are going to die without me? So we see the Lord putting people at the prime of his mission. And Jonah the prophet, trying to get over his hatred to Nineveh, hatred to missions, hatred even for the word of God. And a little bit about Nineveh. Why was Jonah so chip on the shoulder toward them? One of the largest cities in world history and of the ancient times back then. About 30 miles long. So the ruins are still part of that there in Iraq. And one of its leaders was Sennacherib. If I'm pronouncing him correctly, he's in the book of 1st or 2nd Kings. He conquers Israel. He tries to attack Jerusalem. And secular archaeologists find a stone, big stone with Sennacherib's name on it. And it said, Sennacherib, king of the world. Okay, so this guy, he's bad news all over. And Nineveh itself is described by God in the book of Nahum with these words. You plot evil against the Lord. You're a city of blood and a city of lies. So great evil in that area and among the people. And Jonah's thoughts and motives are real plain when it came to the Nineveh. He thought, they don't deserve salvation, number one. Number two, I want them to go to hell. Sometimes we might push people in that direction, either on purpose or through neglect. And then thirdly, I'd rather die than have these people become a part of salvation. Now that's pretty brutal. But that's where Jonah was. And Nineveh was the place God sent him. And we all have a Nineveh in our life, one Bible teacher said. Nineveh is the place where it's really, really hard for us to obey God. Might be in our own house. We say anywhere but here. You know, I could be a true Christian, except in the house. I wish it just needs to go away, the whole experience. That's Nineveh, or work, or a place, a group of people we think, oh, that they'll never turn to Christ. Okay, they just need to be in hell. That's what we want to see happen. And those people should not be offered the gospel. And sometimes when you and I withhold the gospel from people or do not get a part of what God is up to toward, you know, sinful and lost people, we're taking on Jonah's mentality. For some reason, the grace of God, when it goes to other people, we get kind of miffed about that. You know, why do they get to be blessed? Why are they turning to Christ? After all, I followed Jesus for, you know, 40 years, and now all of a sudden these Ninevites are here, and they're worshiping God too. That's ridiculous. I don't even know if they should be a part of what we're doing. How often believers can have that attitude? It's not of God. God has to cure us of that. And seek and save that which is lost. And so we've got to watch our motives when we reject the word of the Lord, reject missions, and reject who God is sending us to. And I wanted to put some things up on the screen here to make some applications. This is from Pastor Alistair Begg, some of the things he noted about Jonah and the Lord. Number one, you cannot run from God. We try to do that. And when we do turn from God, it's to our own devastation. That's what happened to Jonah. I mean, he was devastated. Didn't want to be on the ship, didn't want to be, because there was a storm, didn't want to be in the water, didn't want to be in the belly of the fish. And we can learn from Jonah that disobedience is massively painful. You might say, what did he do wrong? He didn't, you know, he wasn't real bad. He just didn't go where God said to go. But when we disobey God, many terrible things happen. It hurt Jonah, for one thing. It was potentially going to hurt the people of Nineveh. And most of all, it was most painful to the Lord himself. And it's been said, we get under conviction and we realize how bad sin is when we know sin hurts our best loved one. And that happens to be the Lord. And he's the one who had to pay the penalty for it, and he's the one who grieves the most over sin. And so to say, Lord, do not let me run away from you. And God would cure us from that. And then when we do run away, we drown in the waters of our own rebellion. That's what Jonah was doing almost literally. Someone said there's two ways to meet God. We will meet him in salvation. Oh, he's great, and we bow our knee to him. Or we will meet him in condemnation. Jonah could have been condemned by the Lord, just like the Ninevites, because he turned his back on God and ran away. And Jesus said Jonah was like a picture of salvation itself, because Jonah's own sin put him down and God had to raise him from the dead. And Jesus was put down because of our sin and God rose him from the dead 3 days later. So we see the preaching of Christ shows great deference to the truth of the Old Testament. And then this is good news for us. God uses Jonah's obedience and disobedience to bring people to salvation. When Jonah was being disobedient and he gets thrown overboard, guess what happened to the people on the ship? They all turned to God. So there's Jonah at his worst. And God is even using that so that people turn to him. And so as you look in your own life, you think, can God ever use me? You know, that's all I do is sin and turn around, my back on him and those things. God can use that to honor himself and not just leave you in your sin, but draw you back while he's drawing others to himself. So he uses Jonah's disobedience and Jonah's obedience to bring people to salvation. And even a grumpy obedience. Sometimes we don't want to serve God because we think, if I go and serve God, I'm going to have a bad attitude. And God won't use me. Before you get a good attitude, serve God anyway. Because Jonah had the most horrible attitude you could have. And God brought forth tremendous fruit. It wouldn't be something if you're talking to a couple people who are your friends and you're thinking, the only reason I'm doing this is because Jesus told me I hate these people. And And so you just share and you walk away, and next thing you know, they show up with a Bible, you know. And you might get mad at that. But the Lord can use us where we're at. He's very powerful. God is more interested in seeing people come to Him and more determined of that than we are determined to disobey. There's some good news in that. You think you're pretty rebellious and walking away from the Lord. God, so much more so, is walking toward helping others. Here's another thing Jonah learned, which I think is instructive for us. Our biggest problems with the Word of God are not the unclear things that He tells us, but rather the clear passages which we fail to obey. Jonah's problem wasn't that he couldn't figure out why Nineveh was getting saved. Another big problem for Jonah was not that. You know, why did God ask him? God knew he disliked the Ninevites. That would be all unclear. But the clear parts was, go. You go and tell them this message. And it was a tough message. You're going to perish unless you change. And so, to look at the Bible, you and I go with what our hearts can clearly understand and follow that. Because I've never disobeyed God because I didn't quite figure out what He was trying to tell me. You know, I guess it's a little confusing. So I think I'm going to go, you know, punch somebody in the nose because I couldn't quite understand the Scriptures. No, the Scriptures were clear. So there was no excuse for my disobedience because of unknowing. So understand the clear Word of God, the major parts. Jesus is Lord. Follow Him. Love God. Love your neighbor. Spread His Word. It's good, by the way, get the love of neighbor high on the list of what you do to follow Christ. Here's an experiment for you. Listen to Christian teachers in the next month or two and listen for what they tell new believers to do. You listen to that very good. Because what they normally say is this. Go to church. Give regularly. Read your Bible. They don't say nothing about loving anybody. You would think maybe that wasn't a part of following Jesus. But that's first base. And Jesus said that was part of the great two commandments. Love God and love people. So embrace what we know and what God tells us in the Scripture is absolute truth. And someone said it's more heart-to-heart than informational. By informational, it would be, okay, I understand it, to love my neighbor and do certain things. But that would be informational. But relational, if I'm going to trust God, that has to do with my heart. If I'm going to love God, that's my heart. If I'm going to love my neighbor, that's my heart expressing itself in actions. So all the good things the Lord tells us clearly that we're to follow Him at. And then the last application to make, what concerns Jonah or you and I more than people going to hell without Christ? You know, what's on the competition level with that? Is it my own spiritual feeding? I know I should be concerned about lost people, but I kind of want to get, you know, a little more out of Ezekiel. Is that okay if I do that first? I don't know what Jonah was going to get in Spain, but whatever it was not as important as going to Nineveh and saying, now this is where I can love the best. You know, folks who need to hear it the most. And so it's a challenge to our souls as believers in Christ to say, well, we're going to seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. That would be God's role in the people, in the hearts of people, and also the goodness of God given as a gift. And remember, God's concern for the lost, more powerful than our disobedience. And if you look at missionary stats, by the way, if you took them in the 1900s, compared them to 2014, More people proportionally have turned to Christ in 2014 than in 1900. That's true because of the great work of missionaries around the world. Same thing, you can take 1950. Some people think 1950, that was kind of the heyday of the church. Not worldwide, it wasn't. Now, many more believers in Christ around the world than in 1950. It's not as high as it should be. You know, we pray for more converts, but basically, one out of seven, one out of 15% or more will really say, "I am born again. I trust Christ. I'm following Him," and that's God's determination, you know, to work through people like that. Part of the good news of Jonah is this. The Lord is going to take good news to all people. And the only question is whether you and I will participate or not. And we could just start with our own loved ones, you know, people that God brings across our path. You're sent to them. And God can use you. If you're as rebellious as Jonah, God can use you. And if you end up in the belly of the fish, you know, thinking, "I think I'm going to die." You're probably not going to die. God will just get you where you're supposed to be and I'm supposed to be. So would you make that commitment to God? Pass on the great love of Christ that you've received to other people. And no matter what state you feel they're in, Christ is sufficient. And he'll draw them to himself. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for working in Jonah's life. He belonged to you, and he didn't like the word of the Lord, but he said yes to you the second time around. So in our own souls, Lord, as followers of yours, we thank you. You're the God of second chances and thousand chances, and to say yes to whatever you want us to do, sending us to places that we feel are hard to obey you. Or maybe it won't work at all there. But you love people. And so send us with your good news and your love to people around us, people in the far places of the world. Remember your love for Japan, your love for Ethiopia, your love for folks in the Middle East, wherever people are. As an old song says, Jesus will reign. Wherever the sun does his successive journeys run. So make us a part of that effort that you're determined to. Bless each one of us with assurance from yourself as we do this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.